Well, you may or may not know who I am, but that's okay. I'm a believer.
Amen.
I'm a brother.
Amen.
Just like all of you.
Amen.
And I've been serving with Bibles for America since 2001. I think today we'll share a little bit about BFA. But also, I think more we'd like to touch the matter of GTCA, something you may, what is GTCA? We'll get into that. And here's a screen. We're going to get into this, but a little later. Firstly, I'd just like to share with you all some things to remind you, of who we are.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're a particular people. And I've had some burden over the last period of time concerning appreciating Christ.
Amen.
We may realize that God made man for his expression, right? God made us according to his kind for his expression. But unfortunately, man, before he got there, became a brood of vipers. Now that may sound strange to you, but the Lord called all mankind really a brood of vipers.
Amen.
After the fall, we've gotten involved with sin, and we got ourselves into a hopeless condition. But hallelujah!
Amen.
God is faithful.
Amen.
God will never be defeated.
Amen.
And after so many years after creating man, something wonderful happened. At a very dark period in history, I would say probably right before Christ came, it might be the darkest time. The earth had been, really there hadn't been any God speaking for 400 years. Israel had lost really its nation, was under Roman occupation. And, prior to that period of time, Israel, God's people, had been really more or less just a place where armies from the north and the south would come and fight and just terrorize the land. It was a sad story. But hallelujah!
Amen.
God came in at a particular time. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
God came in.
Amen.
And he sent his son. His only begotten son. And this wonderful person, which we're enjoying in this training, right? How many are in the training? Well, if you're in the training, you need to share what you've been enjoying to everyone who isn't in the training. But this wonderful one came to fulfill,
Amen.
To be whatever God needs.
Amen.
But what I want to share with you today, saints, is we love the Lord. We love this wonderful person, and we need to appreciate him, but we need to realize the Lord has something on his heart. All his wonderfulness, all that he is, he doesn't want just to keep to himself,
Amen.
Right? We have the table here, and the table that we just had is a picture, I guess, the symbols of the bread and the wine. They show us that God himself in Christ wants to be enjoyed, wants to be eaten, wants to be partaken of, wants to be mingled with the corporate people. And so if he doesn't get this, he could never be satisfied. Okay? So, saints, we have to realize that, and I know we're familiar with these things, but it's very important that we enjoy the Lord. We really enjoy the Lord. And it's through our enjoying the Lord that he adds himself to us. He makes us his increase, his enlargement. Okay. So, I'm looking at all your faces, and we're all familiar with this kind of speaking. And even we have the meetings of the church, we have the table. But, saints, this enjoyment is for a purpose. It's to constitute us. It's to really add his element into our being, to put what he is into us. Unless this happens, God can never reach his goal. Really, God can never fulfill his purpose, whether it's with us or another people, unless we really enter into the enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
Where we're really experiencing Christ as all the offerings.
Amen.
He can never arrive at what he really desires. What does he desire? God desires to be expressed in man in the universe.
Amen.
He wants this. He wants this. Don't ask me why he wants it. None of us can imagine why he made man in his image as a vessel to contain him. We can't imagine what's on his heart. But God himself, the infinite triune God, wants to get into man.
Amen.
He wants to be expressed in man.
Amen.
And he has a way to do that. And the way he does it is wonderful, right? We have the marvelous example of eating and drinking, breathing, taking something in. We're made this way. We're so dependent on other things to exist. Just as in the human life, right? We have to breathe. If we don't breathe, we're over. Probably just a couple of minutes and it's over. We need to drink regularly. We need to eat. And this is all, saints, just a picture of a spiritual reality. We need to be taking Christ in all the time.
Amen.
Okay. And I'm saying all this with a view of GTCA. Okay, so I'm not just here talking to you aimlessly. I have a real burden here. You know, I've been involved with the distribution of the Bibles in Bibles for America since 9/11. I don't know how many remember that day when the airplanes ran into the buildings. Right after that, we went out to contact people to give them the Word of God, the interpreted Word of God. And I can tell you the one thing I've learned in this last 17 years, I guess, 16, 17 years, I've learned one thing when you contact people, and that is you have to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
You just have to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
If you just go out to contact people and not enjoy the Lord, there's a little value to do that. I mean, you can give them books and Bibles, and the books will work. So that's okay, even if you don't enjoy the Lord. But saints, enjoying the Lord is really the secret of a life in the gospel.
Amen.
And a life in the fellowship unto the gospel. Enjoying Christ. Because our enjoying Christ is the gospel. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Your enjoying Christ is the gospel.
Amen.
You verify, you prove that Jesus Christ is Lord when you enjoy him. Okay? So I'm not talking about just enjoying him at home in the morning. But we need to enjoy him throughout the day. But when we go out to contact people, our smiling faces issuing from our enjoyment of the Lord is really a key. And, you know, you could just smile and not do anything else. And even that is a speaking. It's a ministry of God, that God is real. God is living. God is available.
Amen.
So I'm just trying my best to encourage you. And I'm gonna give you three examples, okay, that the apostles in the New Testament used. The first one is in 1 John chapter 2. John is speaking to the saints. 1 John and chapter 2:27. He says this. As for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and even as it has taught you, abide in him. Okay, I want to talk about anointing and anointing. You know, the Bible, the Apostle John just said, you all have an anointing. If you're a believer, you have an anointing.
Amen.
It might be sleeping in you, but it's there.
Amen.
Best way to find out if you have an anointing from the Holy One is to call on the Lord's name.
Amen.
Say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. You can say it loudly, you can say it quietly, but you have to say it from your heart, from the depths of your heart, okay? And when you call on the Lord's name, something starts to move. Something starts to flow in you. Well, that kind of movement is the anointing. So an anointing is a particular expression. You know, we all know what ointment is, right? We use it like if we get cut, right? You put the ointment on, and it has all kinds of ingredients. It has painkillers, helps kill the pain. It has antibiotics, it kills germs. And it's good for the skin. It helps to heal. And it stays on you, right, when you put the anointing on. It gets into you. It infuses you. Well, the Lord Jesus is an ointment. When the Lord rose from the dead, he became this all-inclusive ointment. And when we call on his name, this ointment gets into us. And this ointment has all kinds of wonderful elements in it. It has his humanity, right, his divinity, his death, his resurrection, and it's all put into us. And it's got everything we need. But you know, if you read the footnote, this is what I really enjoy, and it's very important. He says, concerning the indwelling of the divine Trinity, which we all as believers have, and if you don't think you have it or you want to make sure you have it, we'll be happy to help you right after the meeting. We will help you receive the Lord. And so this is the indwelling of the divine Trinity. We do not need anyone to teach us. By the anointing of this all-inclusive compound spirit, who is the composition of the divine Trinity, we know and enjoy the Father, the Son, and the Spirit as our life and life supply. Okay, now we're going to go on to the next footnote. It is not an outward teaching by words, but an inward teaching by anointing through our inner spiritual consciousness. This teaching by anointing adds the divine elements of the Trinity, which are the elements of the anointing compound spirit, into our inner being.
Amen.
Now here's the part I want you to get. It is like the repeated painting of some article. The paint not only indicates the color, but also by coat upon coat being added, the elements of the paint are added to the thing painted. It is in this way that the triune God is infused, transfused, and added into our inward parts of our being, that our inner man may grow in the divine life with the divine element. So as we're enjoying the Lord, or pray, reading his word, calling on his name, God's doing a painting work in us. He's adding himself. He's infusing us. He's actually putting himself in us. So the triune God is a wonderful painter. There's a painter with a paintbrush and paint. Now this may sound funny, like I'm joking, but I'm not joking. It's really the case. God himself wants to put himself into you. This is so important to him. It's a secret. It's how he fulfills his eternal purpose. So God the Father has the, you could say, is the painter, right? And he has the paint brush and the paint, which is the triune God. And he's just painting the inside of us. And the more we call, the more we enjoy the word and praying the word, the more he's adding himself to us. Now, eventually, guess what? Our inner being becomes the paint. We become the paint. We need to become the paint, saints.
Amen.
That's what people want. They don't really want us. They want the paint.
Amen.
And if we don't have the paint, then we're just like everybody else. So we need to become the divine anointing. We need to be saturated. And I just want to really emphasize, as we get ready to do something, we're going to do something all together in the next few months, at the end of this month, right? We're going to go out and contact people. We hope that many will participate. But we need to just spend our time enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
Letting him paint himself in us. And this just comes from time. It just comes from time with the Lord in the Word. And, you know, eventually I think you'll notice as we spend more time enjoying the Lord, something will start changing in you. And there's one thing that happens. It's normal. Is that you start to love the brothers. If you don't spend time in the Word, you don't spend time enjoying the Lord, it's really hard to love the brothers. But the Lord asks us to love one another. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And you know, when we go out, one thing that's important is we need to testify that we love one another. But you can't do it. You just can't do it. Right, Harry? Right. It's not easy to love one another. But I tell you, the paint in you loves the brothers. And so it makes us one. It just fixes all of our problems. I have too many stories to tell about brothers I couldn't stand and didn't want to ever be near. And the Lord always puts me with those brothers. And there's only one way out, and that's by paint, the divine inward anointing. I have cases. You would really be laughing if I told you who these brothers were. It's an automatic one anyway. But what I want to say is, listen, we enjoy the paint of the triune God in the Word by praying and calling together and alone. And he gives us a kind of love for the brothers. And there's another thing that he does. He just gives us a love for people. God loves people. He just loves people, right? You consider the Lord, when he went to the cross, he went there because of love. He went there because he loves man. While he was suffering a death that none of us can ever comprehend, we'll never know what the Lord passed through, because we only know the physical side. But there's another side that only the Lord went through and only the Father knows. But he suffered an impossible death, and it was because of love. He loves man. Even the ones who were nailing him, mocking him, He was there hanging on the tree with a heart of love to save them, dying for them. And so we need this wonderful person with his divine love, which we don't have, but he's in us.
Amen.
And he really wants to love men through us. So that's why I'm emphasizing this, saints, at the beginning, to really spend time to let the Lord soak us, infuse us, to add himself. You know, when he adds himself, he doesn't take it away. It stays there. When you paint the wall, the paint stays there if it's decent paint. And we have the best paint. Okay. All right, I'm going to jump over to another apostle, Peter, quickly. And you'll find that it's the same thing. Peter, in chapter 2 of his epistle, chapter 2 of his first epistle, he says, as newborn babes, long for the guileless milk of the word, by it you may grow unto salvation.
Amen.
Now, I tell the saints when I talk about this verse, I have a background in dairy processing. Before I started serving, I was involved in dairy processing. I know a lot about milk. And milk, whether you can drink it or not, milk is a marvelous thing. It is an absolutely marvelous thing, how God made milk. You know, it's so important for babies to have milk. It's full of all these wonderful things that can really cause it to grow properly and to be healthy and to avoid disease and so on. Well, Peter says, as newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word. And, you know, the word of God is milk. It's nourishing. It's substantial. It has something in it. You know, one of the big ingredients in milk is calcium. I'm not going to get into a biological, biochemical discussion or physiology and all that. But, you know, your bones are calcium, largely calcium. And inside your bones, you know, you don't have a, most of us don't realize how important our bones are. They're fabulously important for our whole existence. But as you take in milk, this calcium is getting put into your bones to make you strong, to help you grow, and to regulate so many things in your being. And then the calcium also comes out of the bones to regulate so many processes in your body. No, I'm not a scientist. No, I'm not a biologist. No, I'm not a doctor. But I'm a spiritual God lover. And these are pictures, okay? But as we drink the milk, you know, the milk is just Christ, the living stone. And as we drink it, he's making us like him. You know, the Lord is objective to us, maybe before we believe. But when we call on his name, he becomes subjective to us. And as he grows in us, we get to understand him. We get to know him. We know him subjectively. That's how we know the Lord. Because he gets in us, and what he is becomes what we are, and all of a sudden, we know him. We know him. And it, as I read in 1 John, we know him by this way. If the Lord seems objective to you, you need to drink more objective. You need to drink more milk in the word. And let this word grow in you. And there's again, Peter says that it causes us to come to the Lord. It says, to whom coming a living stone. You yourselves are also living stones. So let me just read it real quick in 1 Peter. And it's really good to pray read these verses to help emphasize that there's an organic dispensing going on when we come to the Bible. And I'll finish up with this, these points really quick. As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, that by it you may grow unto salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you have tasted. How many have tasted that the Lord is good?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
Amen.
But then the next verse says, coming to him, a living stone. So you're a baby drinking the milk of the word. All of a sudden, Peter says, coming to him, a living stone. And then he says, this one was rejected by men, but with God chosen and precious. But then he says, you yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing, saints. We were regenerated, redeemed, and we're babes. We're drinking the milk of the word. This milk makes us living stones. This milk builds us up as a spiritual house. And this spiritual house, the spiritual priesthood, offers up spiritual sacrifices. Well, what this means is that we become one with the Lord. And we get built, like I said before, like John was talking about. We love one another. And we love people. And we pray for them. We offer them up to God as spiritual sacrifices. This is all just from drinking the milk. So it solves all of our problems. I don't know how clear I made this. I don't know if you're more confused now than when I started talking. But saints, the point is that God wants to be your constitution.
Amen.
The only way we can get that into us is by opening our mouth, calling on his name, and pray reading his word. The Lord, as the all-inclusive spirit, will give you everything you need. He'll constitute himself into you. And what he constitutes into you means a lot. You know, the brothers this morning, they suggested I share some stories. And we don't have time for me to share many stories. But I just want to let you know that when we contact people, what's so valuable and what will help meet their need is what you have experienced of Christ.
Amen.
What you've enjoyed of the Lord. We're not here just to tell them a story, a gospel story. We're not here to, you know, just teach them doctrines, high doctrines and things like that. What people need is evidence that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
They want to know that you got helped by Jesus, that you've experienced him, that you're enjoying him. That's what they really like to know. And that's what our testimony is. And so we want to enjoy the Lord, and we want to share with what we've enjoyed of the Lord. And many times, what we've enjoyed is related to the word that we've enjoyed, the word that the Lord has come to us and met our need. I'll give you this is an interesting example of what I'm talking about. I was reading a particular book of the ministry, and I was enjoying it. And I read something, and it didn't really seem important to me at the time. But what I read was, what it said was, when the Lord spoke and quoted verses from the Old Testament, he didn't quote the actual Hebrew. He would quote from a translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, the Septuagint. If you don't know what that is, it's a translation of the Hebrew, a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So when the Lord quoted from the Old Testament, he many times would quote from this Greek translation. Okay? And so I read that, and oh, that's an interesting thing, and I enjoyed it. Well, okay, then that later that week, I was out contacting people and giving away the recovery version, and a person came to me up at the table, and he said, "You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be giving away a translation of the Bible, because as soon as you translate it, you mess it up." And he was mean. He was wanting to get into a real fight. He thought I was the worst thing that ever happened, giving away Bibles. So I just stood there. I didn't know what to do. So all of a sudden, within, there was an anointing. Remember what you read? Speak it to that guy. I said, "Did you know that when the Lord Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, he quoted from a translation of the Old Testament?" "Yeah, the Greek Old Testament, the Greek translation." And he stopped. And the Lord used that to stop him. And then he said, "Really?" I said, "That's really the case." And then he said, well, "Let me look at what you're giving away." I don't think this guy was nutty. I think he was somewhat sober-minded, and he believed what he was. But the Lord used that truth to unlock his obsession concerning, you shouldn't be giving away translations. If we can't give away translations, the Lord's economy comes to an end. God is finished. We have to translate the Bible. Well, he took that Bible, and he walked over, and he sat down, and he started reading it. And a little while later, he came up, and he started to tell people, "You need to get this Bible." Well, listen, when I was there, all I know is something came up. I didn't even know what was in there. But the Lord kind of put something in my thought to speak to this man. And I really believe it changed him. I think it changed him forever. And that's just one example. You know, we just don't know what is in us that the Lord can use. But we spend time with the Lord, we pray, and we deal with the Lord. And he's all the time putting something in us. And it's not just for you. It's for others. It's for others. And you just don't know. And not only what we could tell people, but actually this wonderful book is full of help. So this is the way we labor in the New Testament. So I'm going to stop with that. And I hope you all would treasure what you've experienced of the Lord, what you've enjoyed of the Lord. And when you go out to contact people, and we really need to, and I'll explain why in a minute. When we go out and contact people, what's most important is what the Lord has given us. It's our testimony of our Christ to minister to other people according to their need. Well, I'll give you a couple of examples, and there's more. And the a good book for this is the Gospel of John. You know, in John, it starts off really with the eternal Word, right? In the beginning, becoming flesh and tabernacling among us, full of grace and reality. The Word became flesh. And this wonderful one, after this is presented, starts to contact various kinds of people in John, chapters 3 through 11. There's 9 particular cases. And if you consider how the Lord took care of all these cases, it's quite amazing. You know, the first person he met was Nicodemus. He's a leader of the Jews, had some kind of high position, an elder, highly regarded. And he came to the Lord by night, and he wanted to get another teaching to improve himself. But the Lord, in his wisdom, told this man, "You need to be born again. You need to be born from above." And he started to shepherd him, to help him understand that another teaching isn't going to fix his problem. If you read on in chapter 3, eventually the Lord told Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Well, by doing that, the Lord nicely told Nicodemus, a respectable, dignified older man, that he was a snake. That's really what he said there. You are a serpent, and I need to be crucified for you so that you can be healed of your serpentine nature, so that you can be born again. And then he says to Nicodemus, "God so loved the world." Can you imagine this older man speaking to this young man? And he's speaking just to this one Nicodemus. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Eventually, I'm sure Nicodemus believed into the Christ and got saved. Without that kind of particular care, it wouldn't have happened. The next chapter, the woman at the well. In the day, he goes to the well, and there's this very immoral woman. She's had 5 husbands. You know the story. But he takes care of her, according to her need. He didn't tell her the same thing. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He didn't tell that to the Samaritan woman. He took care of who she was. An impossible case. We wouldn't have handled it like that. But the Lord came to her and he helped her confess her sins. He says, "Give me a drink." And you know the story. And if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me and I would give you living water. So she says, "You don't have a bucket. How do I get the water?" "Go call your husband." The Lord helped her confess her sin. Essentially, Nicodemus and the woman at the well got brought to the same place wisely by the Lord. And then he gave her living water. He gave Nicodemus the spiritual breath from heaven. He gave the woman at the well the spiritual water. So, you know, when we go out, it's quite enjoyable. You don't know who you're going to meet, but you have something for them, something of Christ. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Enjoy the Lord, saints. So I'm going to get into Bibles for America and GTCA. Regarding GTCA, Gospelized, Truthized, and Churchized America, it's a term you may have heard. How many have heard that term before? Some. Okay, so let me put it this way. along the lines of what I just shared, God wants to minister himself to man. This is how he defeats his enemy. This is how he gains his body. He gains his bride. He brings in his kingdom. And he enters into his eternal rest and satisfaction, is by dispensing himself into man. The way that he does this in the present age is firstly by the truth. The truth. The truth. What is the truth? The truth is the real things in the universe, which really is God himself and Christ. and the Spirit for our experience and enjoyment. This is the truth. In order for us to enjoy, to be anything, to experience anything, we need the truth. And the truth was presented at the beginning of the New Testament age through the apostles. But this truth was lost. And over a period of 500 years, there's been a recovery of the truth. This is what is revealed in this Bible here, with all the wonderful footnotes. And this truth has an issue. The issue is life. When you get into the truth, saints, and you enjoy the truth, life is ministered to you. It goes back to what I was saying. Well, you know what life produces? Okay, who wants to get the gold star for answering that question? What does life produce? The life produces the church. That's the answer I want. But building is right. Truth brings in life. Life produces the church. And so what's the church for? Who said that? Someone said the gospel. Did you? Okay, brother, say it with a strong spirit.
Gospel.
Hallelujah. The truth that God gave to man issues in life, the divine life for our enjoyment, which we get painted with, that issues in a mysterious thing called the church. Paul calls the church the pillar and base of the truth. And so the church has a responsibility in the universe to, as a pillar and a base, to uphold the truth. In this universe, you're not going to find the truth anywhere but here. You're not going to find the truth anywhere outside the genuine church. And so we enjoy the truth. We enjoy life. But the truth, when it is presented to unbelievers, what is that called? That's the gospel. Saints, that's the gospel. The gospel is not just a little story about Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. If you believe in him, you will not go to hell. You'll go to heaven. That is only a very low, narrow concept of the gospel. Saints, the gospel is the truth.
Amen.
When we enjoy it, it issues in life, light, and so many things. But when it's presented, the truth is presented to those outside, unbelievers, it's the gospel to them. It's the same thing. The same thing is presented to a believer, it's truth. To an unbeliever, it's the gospel. And I say this, and this is not my kind of speaking. This is really what the ministry has told us. When we go out to present the truth. And we should go out and present the truth that we have enjoyed. And this truth is the gospel. Well, over the years, as the Lord has been recovering so many things, he's recovered the truth, he's recovered the church life, there's a matter among us that has been a real fight with the enemy, and that is the gospel. This is something that we should have among us in a kind of a prevailing way. We should be strong in the gospel. The church is not normal when the gospel is missing. The church life is not happy when the gospel is missing. The church life is not full of joy. We can go on week after week, year after year, going to meetings, and we love one another. I enjoy coming to the meetings. Every time I come to a meeting, I enjoy it. I really love to come to the meetings. But that enjoyment without the gospel is only here. But when we start to go out and contact people and we have babies, the gospel, the enjoyment in the church life goes through the roof. Right? Anyone who's involved with the gospel in any way will tell you that it's the most enjoyable way to live. I don't know how many times I've said, this is why I was made. I was made for this. Thank you, Lord. To talk to people about what we've enjoyed about our Christ. And GTCA Saints is a burden. For us to, as the churches, not just even the church here, but the churches in Northern California, and even in the whole country, And actually, it's over the whole earth. The saints are going out to contact people. So we're going to get into this. But this is a Christ-enjoying life. This is a Christ-experiencing life. And we all need to ask the Lord, Lord, bring me into this kind of gospel living with my companions, with the saints, in my small group, with my companions. And what we hope to do today is help you all have a start in this matter of the gospel. And the first point is enjoy the Lord. The other things that we would probably talk about is being grouped together to pray and to seek the Lord concerning how can we reach men? How can we reach people? And so that's where BFA comes in. BFA is here to help you with this. It's just a help. It's not magic. It doesn't, it's just something that will allow you to get from zero to one. From not any kind of gospel activity to a start. So that's what Bibles for America is. Okay, so we can go through this. Firstly, this is a kind of a summation of what GTCA is. You can index that slide. Here we go. And I'll read this to you. GTCA is a determined endeavor by the work, the responsible brothers among us, the churches and the saints in their recovery to build up the body of Christ in North America by proclaiming the high gospel, teaching the deeper truths, and testifying of life experiences, gaining the new ones, and raising up new churches throughout the continent. This is normal. This is what they did at the beginning, back in the beginning of the church age. We've finally come to the point where we're ready to go. Amen. We're ready to go out and proclaim the high gospel. Amen. And to testify of the Christian experiences, just like in the beginning. Okay, that's the burden. You can go to the next slide. And so this has been going on over a period of 20 years now. We've been going out together as churches to do these things. And since about 2007 or 8, we've visited over 100 new cities. Over 100 new cities have been visited. And actually, there's over 30 new churches have been raised up since this time, which is quite a great thing. New churches, cities that were at one time nothing but a wasteland usurped by Satan. Now there's a testimony there. There's a testimony in those cities. Because all the saints gathered together to contact people and give the Lord a way to move. And he loves this. Okay, and any church that's involved can testify. In fact, in this room, I'm sure many of us have done something with GTCA in the past, right? Gone out. You can all testify there's a joy when we do something together. Okay? The coordination, the prayer. Oh, so many wonderful things happen that really enriches the church life. Next slide. These are just a picture. This is a picture of just the different places that we visited. And, you know, there's like 100 dots there. But our hope is that there would be 500 dots or 1,000 new dots and new churches in this country. We really want to see the Lord gain the United States in a strong way. Okay, next slide. So this starts to talk about BFA's role. BFA supports GTCA by providing materials and helping you get places to distribute, venues we call them. We also provide training materials for distributions. I gave the brothers some helpful practical little training guidelines, very easy to get into, very helpful for you, what we've learned over the years, and also some help on following up with people according to what we've learned. Next slide. So to support the gospel outreach and the follow-up labor that we'll hopefully all be participating in, these are four areas that would really help perfect and equip you and really give you a basis for cooperating with the Lord. For example, vital living. Okay, what is a vital living? Vital living is really just coming back to enjoy the Lord in a fresh way. We might get into a Christian habit or a spiritual habit with the Lord, and it's something we do habitually, but we may not really have a fresh touch with the Lord. And these are days when we need to come back and enjoy Christ as our offerings, as the training is talking about. We need to come back and enjoy the Christ that we knew when we first got saved. And sometimes we need to have a little crisis. We need to cry out to the Lord. We need to spend time, Lord, get through in me. Open me up that I can enjoy you in your richness. Make me living like I was when I got saved, Lord. And then vital living also includes having others to enjoy the Lord with. It's so sweet to have two or three others. You can come together just to pray, read, and enjoy the Lord. That is so important to you as a Christian. It's so important to others. We need one another desperately. And it also means a lot to the Lord. The Lord can use two or three people in incredible ways. So we'll just leave it at that. Gospel preaching. That's another area that I think we had a good little talk about what gospel preaching is today, right? Enjoy the word, enjoy the anointing, drink the milk of the word, and testify what you've enjoyed according to the Christ you've received to others. That's the gospel. And then the truth equipping is really going further. You know, we have books, which I brought, and I may grab them to show you. But we need to get into the truth so that we can help others get into the truth. The more truth you get, the more you can help others. The less truth you have, the less you can help others. Thankfully, we have a lot of wonderful books that you can use to shepherd people. Makes it so much easier. You can just have books to give people. You can read those books with people. And a little reading, a little fellowship feeds people. And it's a way to slowly infuse Christ into them. And then shepherding really is just the continuation of that. Shepherding is very all-inclusive. We need to help people. People need help. Just as humans, how to live a human life. Now, I'm not saying we get into psychology and fixing problems. But, you know, we have learned some things about living a human life. How to enjoy the Lord in all kinds of situations. And how important it is to gather with saints. And how important it is to, you know, have spiritual companions and so on. Really, that's a lot of what shepherding is about. So that's what we need to learn how to do in the days ahead. You'll all feel so much better about everything when you get into a kind of training environment. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Have to move a little quicker here. BFA. BFA, you can advance, is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to distribute free copies of the New Testament Recovery Version, and Christian literature throughout the United States. And I really enjoy this little statement here. One time we set aside a couple of days, two or three days, and we, the serving ones in the office, and we decided we need to consider who we are and what are we doing and why are we doing it. Why does BFA exist? We had been going on for a number of years, and there's some new serving ones. What are we? Who are we? Why are we doing this? So we came up with this statement, and this is what we came up with. It's quite sweet. We decided after two or three days of prayer and fellowship that we love God. Amen. We love God. Amen. And we love the Bible. Amen. And one more thing, we love what God loves. We love people. That's Bibles for America. We love God, we love the Bible, and we love what God loves people. So if anybody asks you, what are you doing? Well, you can say, I'm a volunteer with Bibles for America, and there's three things I want to tell you. We love God, we love the Bible, and we love people. We love you, and we have a gift for you. Okay, so since our founding in 2001, we have been freely giving away Bibles all across the United States. Next slide. Well, this is what we do. We give away Bibles. We like to help people read the Bible. People want to know God. And so the Bible is the best way to do that. And our recovery version is the best Bible to help. And we like to encourage people to read their Bibles. You know, there's some feeling that maybe we could help the set up Bible studies in all the workplaces. That's an awesome opportunity. We've found out there's a lot, you know, I learned this a while back, but people find out about the recovery version, they order them, then they start Bible studies in their businesses. And it's happening all over the country. It's been going on for years. It proves one thing, that people would really like this. There's people out there, they want to study the Bible. And we like to facilitate that. And lastly, we really want to educate people in the truth, the deeper things in God's Word. So you can see that these line up with what the gospel's all about. And that's why BFA is here. So you can go to the next slide. Why we do it, of course, that verse in 1 Timothy 2:4, I don't know how many can see it, but we can say, our Savior God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Amen. Our Savior God. That's a good verse to pray, read. This is how many Bibles we've given out together, not just BFA, but the saints and the churches. Through BFA, we've given away almost 1.5 million Bibles in the United States. Think about that. There's probably 30,000 saints in the Lord's recovery in this country. There's 1.5 million recovery versions out there. Now, let's just say that 10% of that number is reading it. That's 145,000 people reading the recovery version. I'm sure there's a lot more than 10% reading the recovery version. You might run into people who have a recovery version. We do it all the time. When we go out to campuses, we meet a lot of people. Oh, I have one of those. I love it. It's my favorite study Bible. So while you're sleeping and while you're, you know, going on with your work and your family life, there's all these Bibles out there working secretly, quietly, and there's almost over 3 million books are out there. All these nice books, right? The Economy of God, The Glorious Church, The All-Inclusive Christ, The Knowledge of Life, and others. They're out there. People are reading it. People are enjoying it, okay? So you have a backup. There's a backup going on. This things are going out through the internet. You can go to the next slide. We have offices in Irvine, Commerce, California, Beltsville, Maryland, and Chicago, Illinois. And all these places send books and Bibles to people all over the country. That's just one happy group of people that are gathering together. See, when you look at that picture, and not all of you can see it, I'm sorry. I'm obscuring the view. But those are happy people because they're giving away the Bible. Okay. You can be happy too. Next page. Our online presence. Okay. So this is what our website looks like. And it's designed to do one thing, to get you to order a Bible. That big orange or golden dot there, you press that and it'll take you to an order page. But there's also a menu items on top, which we'll get into in a minute. Next slide. So if you go to the Bible order page, this is what you'll see. Very easy. You put your name, address, and your email, and you press send, and your Bible will be on its way. Okay? So if you're talking to someone and you say, you know, I have a wonderful gift, and you can get it online, go to bfa.org, and you can order this wonderful study Bible. And, you know, people will appreciate that. Next slide. So in the last, oh, I don't know what happened there. We have to go back to where we were. Online presence, next. We also have books that you can download online. We don't send books in the mail any longer. We just offer books electronically. There's a lot of reasons for that. It's very expensive to send books and Bibles through the mail. We felt we needed to allocate our resources mainly to the Bible. But you can still get our books electronically in a couple of different formats. You can go to the next slide. And if you go to the book order page, you just press either a PDF or an EPUB file, whatever you prefer for your phone, and you'll get that book. So having said that, books are available for you, the saints, to give away. We have plenty of books to give to you to give out to people, okay? But for those who go to our website, they can only get an electronic copy. You can go to the next slide. We also have a blog. What's a blog? If you go to our website and you go to media, you'll notice that there's something called a blog. And a blog is a bunch of really wonderful articles to help new ones in the Christian life. We have over 150 helpful articles. For example, people order books from us. They order Bibles, and they have questions. Well, our blogs, articles, help answer those questions. That's really a wise way to carry out a work, because you find out what your customer wants. And now over 100,000 people come to our website every month finding something that they're looking for, 100,000 a month. And of those, there's over 20 to 30,000 have signed up. They said, we want what you're putting out. Can you imagine? You probably didn't even know that. Every month, 100,000 people are looking for food. And they're finding it. We get comments all the time. I get all these marvelous emails. We all in the office, and they're quite sweet. Thanking us. One person really appreciated the article on consecration. And there's other articles that have really, the human spirit. People don't know they have a spirit. They said, this has been so helpful. I'm learning how to contact God, speaking like us. And it's so encouraging. So you can go to the next slide. Here's an example of what a blog looks like. There's always a nice little, I guess they call that a meme. And then the article comes under. But it says, do you really know the things that you are reading? And then there'll be a portion. It says here, the Bible is much more than a book of morals and interesting stories. As God's own speaking to mankind, it stands alone as the highest, most profound book. That's just the beginning. And you'll find them enjoyable, but you might consider reading these. Hey, this is good for this person. This could be really useful. So this is something to help you to feed others with, okay? The next slide. We also have podcasts. What is a podcast? It's a little MP3 file, and it's just a speaking of our blogs. So we have like 150 of these. You just put them in your ear, and off you go. But they're really not for you, although you can enjoy them. They're for the people you know, people you meet, the people you'd like to shepherd, okay? They're very helpful, very rich. Okay, the next slide. This shows you when you go to our blog page on our site, it has all these different choices. You can scroll down and you'll find things that might be helpful for someone you want to shepherd, okay? Next slide. We also have a video collection. And you can go to the next slide. And we've recently launched a new gospel video. But I don't know if the brothers here are able to... Oh, really? We can watch it? Okay, let's watch it. I love this video. For you dear brothers that are obscured, I don't know if you want to.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, yeah. I pray then you can get a Bible. But, you know, saints, this is on our website. This is for people out there that are seeking, that are struggling. And, you know, one time we had one of these videos called the God-shaped vacuum. And we got an email from a CEO of a large corporation thanking us for that video. He said, "You met my need today through this video." And anyway, he talks about people who attain high statuses in the world and accumulate wealth, yet they're empty inside and aching. And I don't know about you, but every time I see these videos, it touches me. It brings me to tears, and you have to believe it's very effective. So these are all for you. You might know someone that you'd like to, that might be useful. We don't minimize giving away tracts, and we don't want to overemphasize technology, but there are cases where this could be helpful. I was thinking of you, and this came to me, and I'd like you to watch this. Just give them a link, and the Lord can do the rest there. Okay, the next slide. Back to the, next slide. We're almost done. Back to, next. Okay, stop. Just so you know, we are on many internet channels. We don't want you to misunderstand why we're showing you this. We're not for the internet. The internet exists, and there are millions of people who are more and more being sucked into the internet, and we feel if we don't get out there and at least present the truth to them, they may just not have any option. You know, they may not have a way to find us. More and more people use the internet to carry out their daily living. So we feel burdened to just be there as a signpost. People can see something, find something that they're seeking. Next slide. We have affiliates. Bibles for Canada, Bibles for Europe. Maybe you heard about what happened in the recent time in Germany. Very wonderful experiences the saints had there. We're doing the same thing here. Hallelujah. Bibles for Australia, Bibles for New Zealand. I just got an email from the brothers in Australia that they're getting ready for the Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast, and they want to give away Bibles to the many people that come to the Commonwealth Games in Australia. It's like their summer Olympics, I guess, in Australia. So next slide. How can you use BFA? So saints are encouraged personally to distribute free Bibles and books and to follow up with people they contact. And I should mention, when we give away Bibles and books, and I think the brothers will help you, we have some materials, we don't require people to fill out cards to get a Bible. It's called an unconditional transaction, like the Lord's love for us on the cross, unconditional love. We give the Bible to people, and we want them to enjoy it, but we like to ask them to give us a little time to show them how to use the features, the verses, the footnotes, the outlines, and so on. And we like to ask them questions when we're showing them the Bible. Do you read the Bible? Is there a book you enjoy, or you have a question about the Bible? And sometimes they say, yeah, or you can say, what's your favorite verse? Well, if they don't have anything, you can show them a verse that you enjoyed. And as you're talking to them, you can say, have you received the Lord? Have you prayed to receive the Lord? And you can help people receive the Lord. It's not that hard. Many times we've helped people receive the Lord. They want to receive the Lord. This one young couple, students, a boy and a girl, I asked them that, have you received the Lord? And they said, no, but we're trying to. Well, you came to the right place. It's very easy to receive the Lord. So we prayed. And a mother with a young child came to a table once. And we could tell by talking to her, just getting to know her, that she may not have be saved. So we said, have you prayed to receive the Lord? She says, no, but I really want to. Nobody helped her with that. So we prayed with her right there. Oh, it was so sweet. And we showed her the verses in Romans chapter 10. And then after she prayed and got saved, we took her to 1 Peter chapter 2. I love that portion about milk, right? She had a baby. She really could get the point. She needs to drink the milk and the word. And, you know, we didn't see her again. We don't know where she went, but she got saved and she got a Bible and she got some help. And that's got a lot of value. Not everyone's going to come right into our church life. In fact, we encourage a long, slow shepherding work to help people get saved, help them to be baptized, and feed them through appointments, through small group gatherings, personal gatherings with them, and help them to enjoy the Lord in their spirit. And this is really the way we labor today. And then eventually the time will come when they should be brought to the meetings of the church, and they'll have a mom, a spiritual mom and a spiritual dad. And really this is the way to take care of people today. It's the way that has lasting results, okay? Anyway, we have guidelines. We've given the brothers. You can go to the next slide. And regarding follow-up, this is the last slide. With follow-up, like I said, when we give away Bibles, we have a card that people can sign up. We ask them, would you like to be contacted? Maybe meet other people in your area that are reading the Recovery Version. And we'll have a way for them to give us their name and their phone number. And there'll be more fellowship on that in the days ahead. And then we can contact them, or they may want your number. They may want to text you. They may want to email you. We encourage this kind of contact with people. Everything takes time. You're not going to have overnight increase. But saints, it's vital, it's urgent, it's critical that we add this matter of the gospel to our church life. And the brothers will be taking the lead how we can do this. We all can have a part. There's the need for prayer. The most important of all things is prayer. You know, as we pray, read, take in the Lord, I can assure you, you'll start having some prayers to pray for people in this area. And there might be particular names the Lord gives you. For me, I had a turning point in my life where I had my wife and another brother. We started to meet once a week just to pray read. One day, we got a list of names from some saints that went out on the campus. And it was the last day of school. How about that? This saints went out on the campus, the last day of school. They contacted some people. And then they gave us the list and they left. The last day of school. And there's a list of names. So you know what we did? All summer long, we prayed for those names. The next year, many of those ones we never met came into our home. Some of them got saved. Some got baptized. Many of them got Bibles. You just don't know what the Lord can do. Amen. The Lord has a way. So praying for enjoyment, praying for names. The Lord, it opens up all kinds of things the Lord can do. He's ready. He's ready and waiting. He needs men, us, to cooperate with him, to bring many of his seeking ones into his house so that they can enjoy the Christ that we enjoy. The brother said I could go over to 12:15. I know it's a little late. We have 5 minutes. I hope that what was presented is helpful to you. Amen. And we're always available to answer questions as we go along, Bibles for America. We have 5 minutes. Is there any questions that we could answer before we wrap up? What's that? Share those? You mean... Well, the brothers have it. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're welcome to go over it. That's fine. I wouldn't mass produce and send it all over, but for your own use, that's fine. Yeah. Anything else?
Does BFA give away Bibles in different languages?
We give away Spanish. We have Korean. We do not have Chinese. We used to have Chinese, but the brothers in Franklin Park, New Jersey, they have the Chinese Bibles, Chinese language Bibles to give away. So I think the Chinese-speaking saints probably know the gospel book room in Franklin Park. The brothers can help you connect with them. But any other questions? Yes. Yes, we're working on that. Brother John Ping is leading the charge right there. He's going to get that for you. But we ask you that, you know, we don't want to give just everybody business cards. You need to really understand BFA and have a heart to sow and feed, and that's your qualification. So, do we ask for donations? Well, we don't ask people for donations. We never do. In fact, there's been times when people, you know, I'm giving away Bibles and the guy hands me money. I says, I can't take that. Send it to BFA if you'd like to give. BFA, and the materials we have our P.O. box. So it's not that we don't need the money, you know, for offerings to buy Bibles and books and so on. But you know, people really want to give, and it's awkward to take money because then, you know, you have to deal with it. And so we just say, you know, the brothers ask us just to send it to the office, and that takes care of that.
Website also has online giving.
Yeah, right. Now, as far as us, you know, we would encourage you all to make donations to BFA. I can share with you that for the first 10 years, the Lord gave BFA a few donors, several donors that were able to help BFA exist over the years, but that's changing. And we've been very burdened and that's one reason why we don't ship books out, to be honest. But we've been trying to encourage the saints to consider small, regular donations, $10, $5, repeatedly. Over a large group of people really can help. For example, we have to buy Bibles coming up in probably September of this year. And when you buy 100,000 Bibles, that's a lot of money, and so on and so forth. So, you know, you might want to consider participating. That's a valid way to participate. You know, Paul was in prison in Philippians. And the dear saints in Philippi sent him gifts, monetary gifts for support and other things. That giving enabled those saints to experience Christ in a particular way. It's a real fellowship, prayer, giving, and we'd like to encourage you all, including the language saints, the Chinese-speaking saints, the Spanish-speaking saints. You know, we can give away Bibles, we can give away books, we can give away tracts. The more the better. You don't have to worry about your language. It's your heart that pierces people. It's your love for them that will really touch them deeply. You can give someone a track. It doesn't matter who you are. The fact that you gave that to them speaks volumes. They'll never forget that you gave them a gift. And it's worth a lot. So don't exclude yourself. Don't think, I can't do it. My goodness, saints, you all can do it. Amen. We can all do it together. We can all give the word. And through this, the Lord will do something. He'll do something. He'll supply all of the churches, and he'll save some of his sons of peace. Any other questions? Yes. If we could afford it, we would. But the cheapest version is like $100 or $50, I think. And so it's just been too expensive. The New Testament is something we can buy many of. They're only $3 or $4 a piece for us. So we buy 100,000 or 200,000 at a time. But we encourage people, and many ask, can I get a Holy Bible? We encourage them to go to lsm.org, and then you can get your own. Yeah. Anything else? It's 12:15. Well, thank you, saints. I really hope that what was presented was some help to you and inspired you, and we let the brothers.
Okay, how about we have some prayers, just short prayer with the one next to you. Let's pray for about 30 minutes.